Can you hear me? All right. You're going to need to hear me today. Bruce, lock the doors. 2 Timothy 1:6 says this. It says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." 2 Peter 1:13 says, "Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you." 2 Peter 3:1 says, "Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir you up, to stir up your pure minds by way of reminder." I'm going to do a little stirring. Some people call it meddling. Okay? I'm going to just warn you right now. Some of you may have an opportunity to freak out with what I tell you today. Do me one favor. Don't let your flesh run you out of here. Okay? Take charge. Whatever you got to do, tell the person next to me. Say, "Grab a hold of me if I look like I'm going to get up." All right? I'm going to stir you up today with the word. Is that all right? Okay. So, everybody say this. Robert, you can have all my earthly possessions. What's that? Why didn't you say that? Huh? Why didn't you say that? Too oftentimes, we say things hoping that they're true or because someone told us to say it, rather than it's a revelation that we have, and so we're speaking the truth that we know. All right? God said that I will not alter the word that has gone out of my mouth. Isn't that true? He's not going to change it. So when we speak by faith, we don't change what we say. We don't change what we say. We say what we mean, and we mean what we say as a spiritual son or daughter. Is that true or false? True. So I'm going to stir you up so that we can say the truth. Are you with me? We need to pray in the Holy Spirit. If you want to throw Jude 20 up for me and 21. Jude 20 and 21 says, no input in this device. That's not what Jude says. There it is. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up." What are you doing building yourselves up? Does that mean you need to be built up? So if we start not being built up, what we need to do is stop and be built up, right? "But you, beloved, being building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit," Bruce, "keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Whose responsibility is it to know that you're in the love of God? Pastor Robert, amen. A lot of people think so. I hear people say, "I don't feel God's love. I don't know what God's love is." How do you feel God's love? How do you know God's love? The Bible says it's true, and you need to stir yourself up in your most holy faith. All right? So I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I just lift up this entire congregation and all that can hear my voice this day, Lord. Father, that you be glorified, that you be magnified, that we be edified and built up, Lord. That, Father, that the truth of who you are and what you said is true would be a reality in our hearts and in our minds, that we would walk as sons and daughters of the Most High God. That, Father, this word would be so clear today, Father, that there'd be no escaping it, Father. I pray that these words would not be easily shaken, forgotten, or laid down, Lord, but that they would have such impact that the hearts and minds of everyone that hears them would be eternally transformed. And I just trust you for this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, open your Bibles with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Are you there? I'll give you a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 9. I have a heart for the body of Christ. I have a real heart for people. I want to make a contribution in our lives that we all are more than we thought we were. That we can prove to ourselves and be the truth in the world of what the Bible says is true about us. Are you with me? I want to let you know, there is a spirit of this world. There is a spirit of this world, and he is an error. It's not true. He's also called the spirit of error, or the spirit of this world. It is an error. And here's the error that I'm going to tell you. This you could tilt on, and I ask you, don't pass out, because we're just going to wake you back up again. This is it. Ready? If you think you are of this world, the spirit of this world has a grip on you. He owns you. Now, the devil is the spirit of this world. And the wisdom that he gives you is of this world, of himself, and it's of your senses. So the part of you that this spirit of this world is that he works in your flesh. He works in your flesh and blood identity. Just the natural person. Just the person that's called the son of man or the daughter of man. The spirit of this world is the one that has blinded the hearts and the minds of this world to be only natural people. Okay? So, in the body of Christ, it is very, very difficult to stir the body of Christ up to come to this revelation, because the spirit of this world has so deceived the hearts and minds of this world that it's very difficult for them, the body of Christ, to shake it off. We're going to do some shaking today. Anything that can be shaken in you, I desire by the Spirit of God that it be shaken. That only those things that remain, that cannot be shaken, will remain inside of you. Are you with me? I want to see in my life, before the resurrection of the body of Christ, that we walk in the majesty, the holiness, and the power of God. And any of you that are willing to do the same, God has given you the right to do that. But you have to exercise the right that has been given to you to be, manifest, live, walk in the proof of the life of God. It is up to you and you alone. Nobody can make you do it. I can't talk you into it. I can tell you of its existence. I can manifest it myself to the degree that I believe it. But it's up to you, just like it's up to me. The spirit of this world would like you to think this, that you are not equal with God. There's something that freaks out in people's hearts and minds when they hear that I have been made equal with God. I have been now placed in the family of God, and everything that Jesus Christ did while he walked on the earth, I absolutely have the right to walk in also. Unashamedly, unbashfully, is that a word, unbashfully? Whatever, we're going to use it today, praise God. You get my drift, right? With boldness and confidence. But it takes us renewing the spirit of our mind, like it says in Ephesians. What is that spirit of our minds? There's only two spirits. There's only two, and under them come many distinguishing spirits, right? But there's only one God, but under him are many facets of his manifestation. There's only one spirit, and under him are many facets of his manifestation. And that is the spirit of truth or the spirit of error, the spirit of life or the spirit of death, the spirit of God or the spirit of this world. Are you with me? The spirit of this world has infiltrated the hearts and minds of the citizens of the earth. And he owns the citizens of the earth. Why? Because their father is the devil. The one who taught them their identity is the devil. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 8, Bruce, if you got that 23, you want to throw it up. That's why Jesus, when he was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that he was very pointed to them. John 8. There you go. And he said to them, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world." Do you hear me? Separation. You can say this, "Yeah, well, Jesus was conceived by God, and so therefore he wasn't of this world. He was conceived from heaven. So he never was of this world." That's absolutely true. And anyone that's of this earth was conceived of this earth. And they are condemned to die. Period. But those who are born from above, as John chapter 3 says, those are from above. They are not of the world. They are from above. So only the ones that are born from God, from above, can say this, that I am not of this world. Listen to me, people. I'm really hitting it hard right off the bat with you. We're not playing games anymore, and I'm not saying that you ever did play games. I'm saying the revelation of who we really are is hitting the body of Christ, and we are some of those who are receiving the truth that's being shared by the Spirit of God. It is the time for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. It's no longer the time of the church that's been powerless. How many of you have prayed that power would return to the church, that power would come to the body of Christ, that we would see the miracles, that we would see the healing, and that God would use us in his scheme of things? It's happening now. Now we can choose to be it, or we can choose to be afraid and let it go by. It's up to us. Let's continue in our Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Starting in verse 9. "But as it is written, eye has not seen nor heard, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us." How? "Through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." How do you know the deep things of God? The Spirit searches those deep things of God. Where is that Spirit? So the Spirit that is in me searches the deep things of God, right? Does the flesh search for the deep things of God? Can the flesh even know the things of God? No. Let's go on. Verse 11. "For what man knows the things which is in him, even so no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." Did I read that right? Let me read that again. "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not..." What? What? "We have not received the spirit of this world." We have not received the spirit of this world. In other words, we don't have him. Continue. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from who? God. That we might know the things that have been what? Freely given to us by God. Do you have to work for it? Do you have to earn it? Do you have to deserve it? Do you have to qualify for it? It's freely given to you and me. Ready? These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. Man's wisdom is earthly, sensual, and demonic. It's of your five senses. Are you with me? But which the Holy Spirit teaches, doing what? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Let's stop there just for a second. So what he's saying there is that you and I who've been born from above, is that true? Who's born again? Again means you were born once already. So you're all, every one of us is born again, right? If you're not, we'll pray for you if you'd like to be. But every one of us is born from above. Is that right? So can we honestly say we are not of this world? Yes, Robert, you can have all of my earthly possessions. Sometimes we're just mimicking what we heard. And sometimes we're saying what we know is true. And when we say what we know what's true, we don't change and we have authority in what we say. Are you with me? We have been born from God. We are not of this world. The love and the pleasure of the things of this world are against God. Right? So if it's the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of my life, it is not of God, right? It's not. So you and I have to deliberately oppose the things of this world. Not out there, the things of the world that are in me, that I have to deny myself the right to give in to that, right? Because we were raised in the world. But now we've been cut off and are being raised by the Spirit of God, right? And so now we need to stand up as sons and daughters. You want to put Ephesians 4 up for me? I think it's around verse 15. I've been meditating on this. I think I talked to Pastor Trey about it not too long ago. I'm sorry, it's 5:14. You and I have to deliberately purpose in our heart to discern the deep things of God. They aren't going to float down out of the sky with no effort. You're not going to just trip over it. It's not going to naturally happen inside of you. You have to groom it in your own heart. Plant with purpose. You have to determine that this is what I will have in my life. You have to have an intention to walk in it, because you will have many opportunities to feel not like doing it, to think of something else. And you're going to have to put down everything that is contrary to the truth. This is work. I'm not saying it's not. This is work that I'm telling you to do right now. This is what it says. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. The LITV version, and also if you look in the Greek interlinear, it says, stand up from among the dead, and Christ will give you his light. You and I need to stand up from the dead and let Christ be the truth of who we are. Jesus was a man born of Mary, But his father overshadowed him, and with that anointing became the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. But the spirit of this world will not let you put on Christ. It will not let you identify as Christ. It will not let you have the confidence that whatever you say that goes out of your mouth will not be altered, and you'll absolutely have what you say. Because you don't doubt it. You know who you are. You did lock the doors, right, Bruce? Listen, we need to make it first person present tense, and the spirit of this world will not make that easy on you. Everything in the religious world, wants you to be a person of the earth that looks to an eternal heavenly God to fix your life on the earth. And you have no power to do anything. And someday, in the by and by, when you're with Jesus, you'll get your very own harp and bunch of grapes. And you will have the perfect life in heaven. But in this life, you're powerless, you get to be sick, you get to have bad relationships, you get to walk in fear for your life of being mugged or raped or robbed, and you get to have a horrible fleshly life. But in heaven, it'll all be better. Jesus did not say that. That's not true. This is true, that you're commanded to put on Christ. That doesn't mean that you say, Jesus, I need you to do this. Jesus, I need you to do that. He's not an errand boy. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is finished. And now he's waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. That's what Hebrews said. Who's going to make his enemies his footstool if the devil's defeated? If the devil has been rendered powerless? If the devil has been absolutely disarmed? What enemies have to be defeated? You and I have to walk it out ourselves. We have to overcome the spirit of this world and be renewed in the spirit of our minds that we are now the sons of God. Like in John chapter 1, let's go there. I've already said it once, but let's just go there. God, you're so good. Jesus, you are just so good to us. John chapter 1. I want to tell you, I have just gone through a season where the devil has kicked the crud out of me, and I haven't been standing up for myself in a few areas. Not in pride and arrogance, in matter-of-factness of who I really am. And I've been measuring myself according to this world in a couple of areas. And I've been defeated because of it. Emotionally a wreck because of it. You know, and I had to be convicted by the Holy Spirit and stirred up myself in this truth. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. His name is his attributes, his power and his authority. So those of you that can believe that you're allowed to walk in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with his power and his authority on the earth, then you have the right to be sons of God and daughters of God. But you have to know that you're told by God to go in his name, that you do what he does. Listen, if Trey sent me to India to a mission trip in his name because he has a relationship with those people, and then Trey sends me in his name, when I show up there, they treat me like they treat Trey. They expect me to say the same thing he would say. I'm his ambassador. I'm his mouthpiece. I'm his representative. They treat me as him. Are you with me? The same in this world. Do not scoff at what's been given to us by God. We have been given all power, all authority, and in his name we go. Right? Robert, I bequeath to you all my earthly possessions. Do you believe that? Or do you say it because you're told to say it and because you've read it in the book? We have to own it. Are you with me? The spirit of this world does not want you to own it. It will do whatever it can to make you feel like you don't deserve it, to make you feel like it's not real, to make it feel like God is far away, to make you feel like this bondage is too strong and you need help getting out from underneath it. It's a lie from the spirit of this world. When we raise our hands to go lay hands on somebody to pray, guess who's talking in our minds when we do that? The spirit of this world. Our carnal minds that have been trained with earthly results. The one who's been educated in the systems of this world. The one who was raised by flesh and blood parents that had flesh and blood identities that installed a flesh and blood identity into you and I. But we are renewing the spirit of our minds. We are renewing our minds. We know that Romans 12 says in verse 1 and 2, very famous, we use it all the time, that we make our bodies, these physical fleshes, living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. That's just the basic thing that you can do, is to deny your flesh the right to have a voice. That's the most basic thing you can do. And beyond that, that we're no longer conformed to this world, but we are transformed by renewing our minds from the spirit of this world to the spirit of God and the kingdom of God, that we are from above and not of the earth. Are you with me? This is something that we need to be stirred up in, that we need to remind one another of, that we need to pray in the Holy Ghost and build ourselves up to the revelation of this truth. Amen? Is God good? Is God good in you? So let's just say that we're already past the spirit of this world. Amen? We have done 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 3 through 6. Let's just say we've done that. Bruce, go ahead and take your time. Pull that up if you would. Let's just say we've done 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6, right? Which is, as you know, that Paul just got through encouraging them on giving, to sowing seed, to telling how abundant the love of God is and how God blesses those that sow generously. And they had just gotten encouraged to give and to manifest the provision of God in their life by their generosity, and went straight into talking to them about how he warfares, how you and I fight our fights. And the way that you and I fight our fights is that we take authority over our thoughts. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Though we walk in physical bodies, we don't fight with our physical bodies. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Stop. Are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not of this spiritual identity of this world. They're not of this world and the way the world thinks. Okay? For they are powerful, mighty in God. For what? Pulling down strongholds. Strongholds are systematic, patterned ways of habitually thinking that locks you into a flesh and blood identity. Hurts, pains, wounds, misunderstandings, rapes, losses of loved ones, different things that have just impacted you deeply and remains in your consciousness and has locked you into an identity that is not of the Spirit of God. And that systematic pattern way of thinking has to go, because it is locking you into the spirit of this world and an identity with this world. And you will not walk by the Spirit if a stronghold has you in that area. Now, a stronghold may have you, and you know, it may have one area down, so you can do this much. I got a stronghold here, so I can do this much moving in the Spirit. I have this much authority in the Spirit. I get some things working, but only this much, because this has got me locked into a way of thinking. so I can't be completely mobile. We have to tear down this systematic, methodical, habitual way of thinking that locks us in to being mere men and women on the earth. Amen? That person died. We say the words, Robert, you may have all my earthly possessions. That person died. You and I have to really lay into it. That is not who I am. When I see somebody that needs prayer and I put my hands on them, it doesn't matter what my brain says. It doesn't matter what I feel. Shut up. That's the guy that's locked into the fear of this world. Of what will people think? What if it doesn't work? That guy has to shut up. I'm renewing my mind. I'm not letting that one stop my actions. And I pray. Because the Spirit is willing. It's my flesh that's been weak. And I'm supposed to lay that down and not give it a right to tell me what to do. I have to take authority over it. I have to take authority over anger and wrath and malice and judging other people and comparing myself to other people and worrying what other people think. And I don't have this or I don't have that, and they do. I got to lay that all down. Are you with me? So, the systematic, structured way of thinking, habitual way of thinking, I don't care how long you've had it and how often you validated it and what you can prove to say that it's true, it's got to go. It's got to go. Go to the next one. Wait a minute. Yeah. Can you go on? Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. We have to cast down every argument. Where are the arguments? Is it real? Is it not real? Is God going to move? Is he not going to move? Well, I don't know if it's going to work right now. It might work, but it might not work. Well, I don't know about this. How about this one? My wife, I got to tell you, she did this to me, and I just can't believe how my wife would do that. Or my boss, do you know what my boss told me to do? Or my coworker is making it so difficult on me. God, you need to do something with my coworker. You know, you need to move in their life. They need to get Jesus, Lord. Cast it down. Against the knowledge of God, against knowing God personally. How well do you know God himself? Not about God, not what other people say. You and him, FaceTime. Where's God? In my heart. Where is the love of God expressed according to Ephesians chapter 3? Here. That I'd be rooted and grounded in what? Love. So that the fullness of God would be manifested in me. Because God can do all things according to the power that's working inside of me. But if I don't really believe I'm that person, if I don't really believe I have the right to put on Christ myself and do what he did, then I won't walk in the power because I won't believe it's in me. I'm going to believe that God has to divvy it out from time to time. I'm going to be without. But I have to groom with purpose my mind that I am in the family of God. And everything that Jesus was given to me also. Are you with me? They're not just words you hear in church. They're the pattern that we walk on the earth. That's why we're crazy to the rest of the world. Because we think we're like God. And the world will embarrass you to say that. The spirit of this age will intimidate you to say that. The spirit of this world will do whatever it can to make your mind cloudy and dull and depressed so that you can't own it. And we fight against that system of thinking. Are you with me? Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing an occasional thought in the captivity. That's impossible. That is absolutely impossible. Do you know that? As long as the spirit of this world has your attention. And to the degree that we cannot do that, we have aligned ourselves unknowingly with the spirit of this world because it has our attention. It's distracted us. It owns our thinking. And it's so strong and so hypnotic and so subtle that this is very difficult for most of us. For most of us to sit still and be quiet and be contently quiet sitting still is incredibly difficult in the beginning because your mind is racing like a wild horse. Well, let me tell you how to handle a wild horse that's racing. You're sitting on that horse. You want to go for a leisure ride onto the beach or through the woods, and that horse has been so trained because everyone that's ever ridden it doesn't even know how to ride. So that horse says, I am going to do what I want to do because you can't control me. And it's true. Most people that have gotten on that horse just plunk along. Boom, 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 boom. That's most of us with our mind. We just plunk along. And that horse takes us right back to the barn where the food's at. As soon as we get a little bit away, it'll go. The second we turn in the direction of that barn, wham, he's off and running. He's going. So what do you do with that kind of a horse? You grab one rein. And you take that rein and you pull it right into your hip, your knee, as hard as you can. And you jerk that horse's head all the way around. And guess what? That horse stops dead in its tracks because the horse goes where its head goes. And when you hold that thing right into your hip, guess what? That horse is stopping right now. Most of us don't take the time to grab our mind and pull it right into our hip and make it stop and obey us. And you can't tell your mind not to think on certain things. You put it on something. You put your attention where you want it to go, right? Everybody, you know that driver's ed, they tell you if you get in a slide in the rain and you see that telephone pole, don't look at it. Because if you look at the pole, the car will go right into the pole. Look where you want the car to go. Even though it's out of control, look where you want it to go and it'll go that way, right? We need to put our attention where we need it to go, even though some of our lives are out of control. Are you with me? So where do we put our attention? Colossians chapter 3 says, we set our mind on things above and not on the things on this earth. Why? Because the things of this earth are according to the spirit of this world. Right? We're dead to the world and alive to Christ. And we walk in that newness of life. Hallelujah, Robert. This is such a good message. I am so glad you're preaching this. I was wondering just today how I can die a little bit more. Thank you for bringing this up to me. God is so good. He knew what I needed. Bless God. God is so good. High things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Where's Christ? Right here. I put him on. I've been given his name. All power and authority has been given to me. Why? In Christ, because I'm in him, he's in me, and we're one. There's only one Christ, and he's in you and me. So we put on the same Christ, the same anointing, the spirit of truth who's of God. Are you with me? Oh, this is wonderful. Next verse. So now that we've taken every thought into captivity and we finally got a rein on our mind, it says, and being ready to punish all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. When we have brought every thought into captivity to what? The obedience of Christ. Once I get that horse under control and he knows I got him, then what I do is I let out my reins slowly and let the horse walk. If he starts going the other way, I pull it right back in again. Right? I start letting it out slowly. If he walks the right way, he's good. As soon as he goes the other way, wham, I pull him back in again. I don't let him rein back out again. I don't let him run away with me anymore. So we'll be quick to punish all disobedient thoughts once we get a hold of our thoughts, because we know we need him to go the direction of eternal life and of the manifestation of the love of God, and not in insecurity, weakness, infirmity, less than enough. Right? Amen. Go to Ephesians with me. If you loved that, you're going to love this. If you hated that, tell the person next to me, grab a hold of me. Don't let me leave. I need to hear this. My flesh might... Trey was talking to me the other day. I can share this. Trey was talking to me the other day that one of these really godly ministers... Who was that? Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth talked with such power and such authority because the presence of God was so strong and real in him that a lot of people couldn't even pray with the man, because the spirit of this world that owned them so strongly, their flesh couldn't stay in the presence of that glory and power when he would pray, and they'd have to leave the room. One guy says, I'm going to stay no matter what. And he was sitting in his chair as Smith was praying. He's with Smith sitting in his chair right there, and his chair started jerking. It took him right out of the room. Right out of the room. Even though he tried to stay there, his flesh couldn't do it because it was so desensitized to the things of this world, to God, and so alive to the things of the flesh. He couldn't even stay in the presence of God in that power and that glory. He couldn't do it. Ephesians chapter 4. Do any of you have a WOOST translation with you, or WEAST? No? All right. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are a gift to the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, 3. We know that. But look what they're here to do. This is for all of us. Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. We equip, thou, you, for the work of the ministry. Like I'm doing right now. I'm equipping you right now. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the Son of God. Till we all come into unity or oneness with Jesus. Right? All of our thinkings line up with Jesus' thinking. We equip you to do that. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, a complete man. Completely complete man. Completely complete, fully finished, perfect man. To the measure, to the same amount of the stature, the fullness of the fullness of God. We are here to teach you who you really are. And believe me, we get it just as we're telling it to you, the same. That you are the same measure of the stature of the fullness of God that Jesus was. We all have to come into that same way of thinking, that same unity. Robert, you can have all my earthly possessions. You can't just say the words. You got to mean it. Because when it comes to me coming to your house to get my stuff you gave me, you may be freaking out because I want my stuff you gave me. because you didn't mean it when you said it. So you say it, but if you don't mean it, the devil will still take you and rob from you and swoosh your life around and stir it all up in the wrong direction. He'll send his minions to make things difficult on you, and you won't know that they have no right to be there because you haven't been stirred up in who you are, the authority of God on the earth. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are the ones proving heaven is in men and on the earth. You're the one proving it. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. That's who we are. We are speaking that we are sons and daughters of God. We speak that truth in love. Not in arrogance, not in pride, in love. May grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. We're going to grow up in all things into Christ. We grow up into Christ. Are you with me? Verse 16. From whom the whole body, joint and knit together by what every joint supplies. In other words, Helen Scott has a part that she gives to the body of Christ. She sees people that their minds are not focused on who they really are, but they're thinking of something else, and she gently reminds them who they are in Christ. Right? Or Betty sees that you're hurting and you're sniffling, and you just said, I've got a cold. And Betty stands up and says, no, you don't. That cold's trying to get you. You are a son or daughter of God, and that cold has no right in your body. Let's cast it out now. Right? Or Betty Jean sees me walk in the room in the doldrums, and the Holy Spirit in her is engaged, and she discerns that a spirit has been tormenting me over the last 3 days, and I haven't been able to get out from underneath it, and it's been rattling my mind and my emotions, enslaving me into a negative way of thinking. And she sees that and discerns that and says, brother, I see that there's a spirit harassing you right now. I tell it to go in the name of Jesus. Will you agree with me? I'll say, yes, go in the name of Jesus. And I get free of that thing that I was locked into, that way of thinking, because she saw that on me and was able to do it. Right? That each one of us minister to each other together, because this world does not want us to know that it has no right to influence us. That we are above it. We are from above and not from the earth, not from beneath. Are you with me? And then Sandy will come up and we'll all be sitting there chit-chatting about, oh, wasn't that buffet so good? I got extra ribs that day. That was so good. And Sandy walks up and goes, and just goes to us and goes, the Holy Spirit's showing me that your minds are set on things on this earth. Let's glorify God. Let's raise it up a notch. We're getting ready to come together. Let's assemble together. Let's start praising the Lord and speaking in tongues together. Shall we do that? Yes. So sorry. Just got swept away a little bit with those good ribs. And here we go, into the presence of the Lord. I'm not saying you can't enjoy your life or have fun. Do you know what I'm trying to say to you? It's about each one of us. The world and its way of thinking is very subtle. He was the subtlest creature ever made. The most cunning. He knew strategies. He knows habits. He knows what your patterns are. He knows where your weaknesses are. He knows where your attention's not. And he'll get in there, amen? We need each other, because what I'm telling you right now of who we are, it takes the Holy Spirit and one another for us to hold on to it, amen? speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joint and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Say this: you need my help being all you are in Christ. I need your help to be all that I am in Christ, because I don't see my blind spots, right? But we have to speak the truth to each other in love. And the truth is who we really are. I'm not saying, oh, I ate the cookie. I'm telling you the truth right now. Or, you know, we're starting talking about, well, I just have to tell you the truth. It's this. Well, I would hope you would tell me the truth all the time. You don't have to preface it, right? Tell me the truth. I expect it. So we tell each other who we are, the truth of who we are in the Spirit of God, because we're from above. Are you with me? Am I stirring you up? Am I meddling? I was hoping to hear a no, but that's all right. We'll go. Okay, give me one more second and we'll be done. So let me just put this in a nutshell. The Gentiles, or the rest of the world, the rest of the body of Christ that doesn't know who they are yet, still has their minds blinded because they're trying to figure out in their head who they are, instead of making that thing a servant to what the Word says is true. And then we speak in tongues, building ourselves up so that we can speak the truth. Amen? So let me give you an example. Because this is the verse. Awake, you who sleep. He's talking to Christians. Awake, you who sleep. That means you're hypnotized by this world's way of thinking of who you are. And arise from the dead, or stand up from among the dead. In other words, when you arise from sleep, you stand up out of the bed, right? Oh, thank you, Lord. How many of you have had a dream? I almost stood up on this curtain, this thing. How many of you have had a dream, and when you are sleeping, but you're aware of yourself in your dream? You've had that? How many of you, now this is the next step, how many of you have deliberately done something in your dream because you knew you were dreaming? Some people can do that. Some people can normally going to behave like hit somebody, and in their dream to go, no, I'm not going to hit that person. And they don't hit them. Or you go, you know what, I can fly. And so I fly in my dreams. I can't fly. I can't lift a lot of weight yet, but I'm getting pretty fast. I'm working on it. But I definitely fly a lot in my dreams. Anyway, I don't know what that means. And if you do and it's not good, don't tell me. Because I enjoy it. All right? So, but the thing is this point. When you're in your dream and you're conscious that you're dreaming and you're enjoying your dream now because you know you're dreaming, you know, you usually wake up shortly after that, don't you? This world is the dream. It's created. It's not eternal. You will wake up from the reality of this world and live in your eternal life, which is made, this world, the substance of it, is made from heaven, is made from the substance of God of heaven. This visible has been made by the invisible. This physical is spiritual. The natural has become spiritual. There's two bodies, two realities, simultaneously operating together. When you wake up in your spiritual reality of who you are, you will have the same authority in this world you have in your dream world when you wake up in your dream and know it's a dream. Because you have authority over your dream. You have authority over this world. But not until you wake up, that it's temporary. It's a creation. And you're not under it. You're above it. Because it's the Creator now, and his way of thinking, who's over this world, is now who you are. Are you with me? We have the mind of Christ. But we have to walk in it. This world does not want you to know that. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. As Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the word that's gone forth today. I thank you for the reality of what you're sharing in the body of Christ, that we who hear these words believe your word. We trust your word. And I ask you to breathe on your word eternal life, that those of us that hear it, own it, keep it, protect it, and tend it as it grows up to be the greatest belief structured system that we have, outshadowing anything that this world has constructed in our thinking, Lord. That we would systematically dismantle every stronghold way of thinking, every vain imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against knowing you personally. That we can take each one of these thoughts and grab a hold of what I'm thinking and hold it up and measure it to Christ. And if it's not saying that Christ is the truth of what I'm talking about, then we cast it down in Jesus' name. Father, I know this is difficult to hold on first flush, Lord, but I trust you to keep reminding us, keep bringing it up, keep bringing it in front of ours, keep bringing it in front of our heart, keep bringing it up, Lord, till we can lay hold of it and walk in it fully, Lord, that we can truly walk in the demonstration of your spirit and power on this earth. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, did you get anything out of that today? Okay. Yes, sir.
Robert, God has put a word in my spirit before you start speaking.
Here, give me one second. Can you just give me, Roy, can I give you a mic?
God had put a word in my spirit before you started speaking, and I held back. Because what if it's not? Mm-hmm. But as you spoke, I wrote down what he said because it went right along with what you said. And I wish I'd given it then, but I want to go ahead. God said, of my creation, my children are the only created beings that return love to me. All things that are mine become theirs when their all becomes mine.
Yes, amen. Amen.
God said, of my creation, my children are the only created beings that return love to me. All things that are mine become theirs when their all becomes mine.
Amen. So let me tell you, if you're trapped in a way of thinking that is according to this world, you need to let the people that you trust that have heard this word, and I'm not saying that we at High Point are the only ones saying this. It's not. It's in the body of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit teaching us. But we need help getting out of those systematic ways of thinking. We need to help each other to remind ourselves who we are. This is what I do. I stir myself up with a truth that I do not physically experience, but I know it's true because God told me it's true until I can prove that it's true. Does that make sense? I do what the Bible says until I can prove that it's real because he said so. I trust him over me, right? So I think of it this way. This helps me. I think of this world as a systematic way of thinking. I call it minutia. It's just all the trash of how this world operates. It's natural. It's earthly. And I see myself coming up out of the atmosphere, okay, out beyond the air, up into the heavens, where this world, I can look down on it like a little blue and white marble. Okay? And then I'm there. I can identify with God and not with this world because I'm separate from the world. Are you with me? In that place, where it just takes me a second to just get my head there, you know, where I'm thinking not only on things above, but from above, literally. And then I start blessing the people in my life. I start blessing the things that are going on in this world. I start praying the words that Jesus would pray. He told me once, God told me, he says, when you speak, speak as I would speak, agape. Okay? It's taken me a long time to get the confidence to talk like God, to really, and to talk from love. But I'm getting it. I'm getting it. Momentary glimpses of that it's okay with God for me to walk in Christ as the anointed one, just like Jesus was. I've had to work on that because this world was so rooted in me that I thought it was wrong to do that, and somehow it was blasphemous or God would be mad. But he encourages me every time I do it. Go for it. Be bolder. Say greater things than that. Say even greater things. You're not going to intimidate me. You're not going to overshadow me. I'm not worried about it. Go. Think big. As big as you can think, I'm greater. So you go for it. So that his thoughts become my thoughts. That his ways become my ways. That my words are as his words, that they don't return to me void. And I work on that, and I work on that, and I work on that. As long as I'm complaining about the problem, this world's got me. But when I rise above it and say what I want to see in your life, what I want to see in my life, what I want to see in the body of Christ, I thank God for the power in the church and the revelation that's striking the saints and the confidence to manifest the things of God and the boldness to speak contrary to what they feel and think, exactly the realities of God. And I'll tell you, that helps me. It may help you. So I encourage you, from time to time, stir yourself up, edify and build yourself up, however you need it, so that you can see yourself from a heavenly point of view and speak from that place. Amen? Because in that place, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And then there'll be no more shadow of turning in you, because you will be as you were created to be, in the likeness and the image of God. Amen? I love you. You're dismissed. If anybody needs prayer, feel free to come up here. Trey Mitten and I would be happy to pray for you.